sound?
I don't think so.
No, it was there.
Because my buddies were there, and they were like, dude, there were way too many people cheering for Roman. They were shocked.
I don't know. That sounds fun, fishy to me.
But then again, you
well,
know.
Well, in the main, yes. But when he came out to do his promo, no.
Oh.
Well, it's only because of
because they were wrestling, yeah.
Yeah. All right, we good?
I am.
All right, now. All right, my friends, welcome to another edition of the Beast Show from our new digs.
It's pretty fancy.
You can't see it, but we have a studio that we're in now.
Yeah.
We, you know, this is kind of cool.
The Beast Show studio.
The Beast Show studio.
I love it.
And this, you're not on my lap.
I miss being close to Dixon, but hey, you know, those are the breaks.
There it is. But it's almost kind of cool to be, this is the first podcast ever in this studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just a little history on the studio that we're in. It used to be, if, I don't know if you know who Howard Parker is, but Howard Parker, who is a big movie voice, you know what I mean? I think he did it to like Jurassic Park and all those kind of things, yep. Originated from this very studio.
That's right.
How about it?
I'm L.A. Markin right now.
Are you?
Yep.
Great. That's awesome. So it's kind of a slow time now after WrestleMania. But I guess some of the good things that we're seeing some of the young guys get the pull up and getting some pretty good reaction. I'm kind of impressed by a lot of it, from Enzo and Cass to Corbin. You know what I mean?
Apollo Crews.
I'm honestly, but I guess that shows what NXT is doing for the next future star. I guess.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it that NXT is. You know, no pun intended, the proving ground for who's coming next. Mm-hmm. And with the rash of injuries and it being post-WrestleMania, this is where they start throwing stuff against the wall to see what sticks. And it's good that they're bringing up the top-level stuff. And it's encouraging to see the WWE Universe getting behind the Apollo Crews and the right. Baron Corbins. And, you know, we were talking about it off-air a minute ago with the crowds following along with Enzo and Cass with their whole DX-style spiel when they come out.
Yeah. Which we were talking, like, I had no idea, and I'm just, when you, especially post WrestleMania, what any of it was. I'm like, what the hell is this? You know?
I mean, like Dixon said, I mean, everybody, when you saw that entire crowd, and I mean, usually that crowd, the Raw after Mania, is from all over the world, like flocking on that mm-hmm. on the host city. And for them to know every single word, and they knew, you know, the way he's going to move his hands and, you know, side to side. Or
how
up
you
there.
Doing?
It was pretty cool. Yeah, exactly. It was pretty cool. And so, yeah, I mean, everybody's going to
be
push.
I mean, I kind of enjoy it. I ain't going to lie.
I have a weird feeling that it's going to get really old really quick, though, if they don't, like, change it up a little bit.
Got to change
there.
It up.
Yeah.
Got to change it up. Because unlike, you know, Road Dogg and what they did with their intro, it was cool then. Because they were the heel. These guys are face, so it's going to get kind of, it will get kind of boring after a while.
They didn't do too much this week, though. I mean, they didn't do the exact same thing.
Oh, they did. It was the same.
It just wasn't the extent
it wasn't the
of
extent.
The promo.
Because Kaz had a lot more to say, too.
It was NXT promo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, quick.
Yeah, that's true.
Easy. But, I mean, talk about, for those guys, we really haven't gotten to much of the show, but talk about, you know, them going into a feud with, you know, probably one of the best tag teams ever.
Definitely top five of all time.
I mean, what a great push for those guys right off the get-go.
And we all know how Bubba is. He's not going to put you over unless he believes in you. So there's got to be something there.
Yeah, and he's selling it. I'm honestly surprised that he is. You know what I mean?
I think it's hilarious that Enzo calls Devon Devin.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
The best.
And the fact that it's continually happening, like those are the kind of little things like the New Day does that are going to get you over with the guys like us.
Right. Right. There's another. I mean, those guys, I don't know if they're getting bored with their shtick, though. Does it seem like that to me, to you guys?
New Day?
Yes.
I feel, my impression is that they're being told not to do certain things.
Yeah.
And that they're just getting annoyed with it, so that they're going to do more, like, campy stuff until the cuffs
who,
come
who,
back
who,
off.
Who,
yeah.
Who. I mean, that's kind of, you know. Yeah, I don't.
They're also given so much time, too. I mean, every week they're given a lot more time than everybody else on the roster. So to come out with new material every single week and not, like we were concerned with Enzo and Cass, mm-hmm. it gets, you know, annoying after a while. It's, you know, I think they're great. I think that, by the way, the graphic for the tag tournament is the greatest graphics package ever. We need that for our any tournament we ever do in the future. Cartoon, that's fantastic. I love what they're doing with the tag division and bringing these teams up and putting them, battling them together. It makes you want to tune in every week for it.
I didn't end up seeing the Enzo and Cass.
No match on Raw. It's them versus the Dudleys on SmackDown. Doing it on
SmackDown. Vaudevillains too?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Because I'm like, did I miss something? Because I was working on the computer and not really paying attention.
So who do you think is going over?
I think the whole point of the tournament is to get the New Day matched up with whoever they're going to feud with next.
Yeah. Who do you think that's going to be? I don't know the SmackDown spoilers. Listeners, don't worry. I won't give anything away.
It's not going to be Enzo and Big Cass because you don't want to take your big face call up and have them go against the biggest faces on.
No. Vaudevillains could be. I mean, I really didn't pay too much attention to what they're. They came out on SmackDown last week.
They came out on SmackDown. They'll be on SmackDown again this week. And do you want me to pull a J and just tell you that they went over? They went over at the tapings last night, so they'll be moving on in the tournament. It wouldn't surprise me if it was the Vaudevillains in the end versus the New Day, because I think being that throwback, like, 50s style, you know, they have the Irish boxing kind of look to them, that it matches up really well, that it's sort of a gimmick versus gimmick kind of thing, like the New Day versus the old school.
Yeah, right.
If I'm booking it, that's where I'm going, because they're the team that came up with the least amount of fanfare, and if you're going to put them over, that's the way to put them over.
Absolutely. So, yeah, definitely the tag division is moving in the right direction. It's good to see a lot of these new people, you know what I mean, get the call up.
And
so
there's a few more down at NXT that I think 6 months to a year from now are going to make a huge impact, like the tag teams this year are.
Well, I mean, that just goes to show you that it's working. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's definitely the promo work and all that kind of stuff, and having, you know, the trainers they have down there and all the things that they're doing, it's working, which, you know, because you know why it's working? Because Vince doesn't have his hands in it.
Well, I think part of it, too, is they're realizing, truthfully, that, you know, if you're looking at the business as a whole, they got away from all of the things that bring in very specific viewers over the years. So. Right. You know, I think they realized that the women's division was lacking, so they built the women's division. They realized, oh, you know, there are people clamoring for a tag team division. Let's build the tag team division. You've already got a stellar amount of singles working. You're doing your cruiserweight series. It's going back to the old school mid to late 90s model of a little something for everyone.
Right.
You know, there's a little bit of comedy. There's a little bit of realism. You've got Brock that goes to the MMA. You've now got your tag division. You've got your women's division. We know a brand split's coming. That's why the roster's fortified.
Here's my question. Why go to a brand split now? You have NXT. Why not make that an official brand? You know what I mean? And have them tour like the other, you know what I'm saying, like the other people are touring.
Because I don't know that there's enough star power at NXT. You'd have to go into much smaller rooms.
Yeah.
And a lot of those guys, I don't believe, have guaranteed contracts. They're not really working outside of the state of Florida. The reason they're going to the brand split is to keep Triple H and Stephanie and Shane on TV. And also, there's getting to be a backup at NXT where now you've got, I mean, Tyler Breeze is the perfect example. Yeah. He's a dude that spent 3 years at NXT, had the title, went through that whole process, got the call up. We see what's happening now.
He's getting, a screw job.
But if the brands were to split, he goes from being a C-minus player to probably being a B player with less dudes on the roster. So it's an opportunity to take a dude like Tyler Breeze or an Adam Rose, who had huge success in NXT, Bo Dallas, another one, that are getting lost on the main roster, splitting it and giving everybody a little bit more time, even if it is only once a week as opposed to twice.
Another reason, too, why they want to keep NXT smaller is because at the end of the day, it is a training ground for the main roster. So, you know, the bigger you make that brand and the more you're traveling, then it's not going to have as much appeal, and you're not going to, you know, it's going to lose some of its luster because it is a WWE Network show. Yep. So that's never going to be on USA. They want that so people get the network and come to it. And then they have 5 hours a week that they have to fill on USA. True. So Universal's like, you've got to come, you know, we're giving you 5 hours. You know, they get awesome money with it. So for them, it only makes sense when you got, like you said, the backup with all this talent and all these different storylines, that you're going to split it and in a way have it come together, whether it's pay-per-views. I don't think it'll be like a full separate split brand. I think that there'll be some, you know, interaction.
They'll still go back and forth.
Well, you'll have all the champions work both shows.
Exactly.
So here's the question, though. Is there, like the IC title stays on SmackDown for the most part? Do you see stuff like that? Do you see, because I don't think you can do that with the women's because it's only the one title.
Yeah. So they I think the World Heavyweight Champion, the Tag Team Champion, the Women's Champion work both shows.
Gotcha. And then the other two, you
stick one on one show, one on the other.
SmackDown only IC title, the US title stays on Raw.
Yeah.
And maybe starts out Raw, or is that dead match that they need to fill time?
Yeah, chances are it would be the Intercontinental title on Raw because that's the title that Vince created, so gotcha. It would stay on his, and then the U.S. title always gets pushed off to SmackDown.
So does Shane stay with Raw, or do we see the Authority stay there and Shane go to SmackDown? Because I kind of like Shane.
From a booking perspective of wanting to slowly integrate NXT guys to main rosters, I would say put Triple H and Steph on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Because it's the less visible show. It's the taped show.
Right.
So let's say you bring a young guy who isn't necessarily...
You can edit it up. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, right.
Where with Raw, you focus at your flagship. You focus on your big stars, your main stars. And then once they get warmed up on SmackDown, you do like the trade angle. You do the, I don't like the way I'm being treated. I'm going over here.
Right, yeah.
And I think it creates a competitive nature that isn't real competition, but I remember, back in the early to mid 2000s, there were people that were like, I like Raw and I like SmackDown. A lot of the video games were made that way.
You're right.
Maybe they're trying to recreate that passion because it seems like they're going back and trying to redo a lot of things they've done over the last 20 years in a new way. Bless you.
Excuse me.
But like you notice that they're factioning off everybody. It's groups of four, groups of three.
Right.
Well, they did that with the Los Boricuas and Nation of Domination and all that stuff back in the day. Now you're seeing the brand split, which is another thing that they did before they're going back to. I think it's a matter of them reevaluating, taking the things that genuinely were successful and then trying to put a new spin on them to make them work in today's market just because that they don't have the writing depth that they had 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
Right.
Going to touch base on the Shane thing, it'll be interesting to see what's going on because whether it's Meltzer or any of the dirt sheets, nobody knows what the plan is. Like as of right now,
he'd be gone by now.
He's gone, and then they're like, okay, we're going to bring him back. So all they know is like it's these 2 weeks. They don't know where, how it's going to come into play. Yeah. And a lot of the rumor is that with WWE being so shocked and excited that how many people love Shane and having him back, and he's getting like one of the biggest pops, if not the biggest pop every time it comes out, that they were like, all right, let's ride this train as long as we can.
Well, he's also moved the ratings needle, which is why he's probably not going to go anywhere for a while. He's a young dude.
I think he unlike Triple H and Steph, he looks like any one of us.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, he's a normal guy. Even though he's a young guy, I think that has a lot to play into it when you're talking about the people watching the show.
He's also a face.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it's the first time there's been a good face GM that you actually is going to do the bumps, get in the matches, has the history, knows the business. Well, so it's a great way to call up this talent and funnel it through Shane O'Mac rather than trying to go through Stephanie and Triple H, because we saw what Stephanie did when she introduced the women. When those three women came up last year, it was about her and I'm changing the division. This way, it's hard to root for somebody doing that when they're a heel.
Right.
And they're a heel every week. So having a face, it adds a whole new atmosphere to the show, which is exciting to people. So hopefully he stays around. He's the best. I think Dixon and I talked about this, so we can talk a little bit about further like what we think fantasy booking going future SummerSlam. But the worst storyline in WWE history took place at WrestleMania, where Shane would never be able to have Raw, and then the next night he was given Raw, and now 2 weeks in a row because this week social media wanted him so bad, so he gets to come back. There has to be, to me, I feel like Vince is going to kind of side up with Shane, and we were talking about saying that, hey, I see how much you put your body on the line. I see how much you love this business.
Right.
Let's see what you can do with it. And then Stephanie and H having issues with it. And then that's where you see maybe a Shane, Triple H going towards SummerSlam for the company or brand. Yeah, Hell in the Cell too.
Or you say, you know what? Hey, we've bought out SmackDown. You could see something like that. We've bought out the rights to SmackDown. Yep. It's our show now. We're out of here. You know what I mean? Like that being the ultimate thing, or
You know, if they do a brand split, they got to do one thing. My favorite thing about the brand split was the draft. I always looked forward to that cheesy draft.
It was so dumb.
Like, it was, but it was
Here's the deal, though. You do the draft, you take it on the network and make it something real.
Yeah.
Because when they did it on TV, it just kind of sucked, right?
I like the idea of there being an initial draft and it making an event on the network. I don't know that you need these yearly supplemental.
No, I agree. Yeah.
You know, those were a little like you just saw everything coming, you know?
You saw the main roster changes, but now with NXT in the mix and bringing guys up to the roster, you could have a surprise draft pick or a future draft pick somebody.
That's the cool thing is like let's say you're on like the fourth pick, you know, and Shane and in Triple H are at the podium and Triple H comes up and says, "Hey, I will give you my number one draft pick for 2017 for this pick right now because I know who I want." And then they do it and then 2017 rolls around and Shane pulls up Samoa Joe. Shane pulls up Finn Balor. You know what I mean? Like little things like that could go towards legitimizing the whole draft process and making it actually appear as if the two brands are separate.
Right.
Exactly. And I also think that they're doing something very, you know, under the table that not a lot of people might notice is that they're starting to treat it more like a sport rather than entertainment.
Right.
Segueing on ESPN.
Yep.
You know, I loved when Shane said on Raw to Kevin Owens, "Well, you lost at Mania and then you lost the four-way, so technically you shouldn't be allowed a rematch." Actually bringing wins and losses back into the mix rather than, okay, it's whatever we want this week. So I love that idea of having one big main draft on the network. Whether or not they do it,
they'll probably put it on USA
because that's where that's who pays them.
You do it where, like, a Linda McMahon is, like, the host, right? You know, and you do it, like, NFL style. Like, you're on the clock. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? NFL draft style where you're on the clock, and then maybe it goes, and then maybe you have the announcers go into some piece. And, you know, it would be – I think it would be kind of funny, and it would, you know – it would garner more attention because you're going to be like, oh, man, who are they going to pick?
Yeah.
You know, everybody would watch that.
And it would be a hilarious thing if they did it somewhat recently and nobody picked Roman. And he just ended up being...
he goes down the last pick. Yeah. That would be awesome.
Let's head into Raw now, man. I thought it was pretty decent. Like I said, I'm enjoying the new guys being there.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the Natty and
Charlotte
match.
Was good.
Which I'm glad they finally went there, right?
Yeah.
You know?
I love the no DQ, too. I thought the no DQ worked really well in that situation, not getting any wins or losses, so then you can have the rematch.
The Dr. Phil thing, though, I'm perplexed.
Are they trying to
move her off of her dad? Like, I don't know.
To a degree. I think it's more a matter of having a recognizable third-party note that Ric Flair is there at ringside so that the casual fans pay better attention to it. Or the people that are watching and don't get why Ric Flair is at ringside with this weird girl now know it's her dad. Because they really did drop the ball quite a bit for the casual fan over the last couple of months explaining why Ric Flair is at ringside with Charlotte, who only goes by Charlotte.
Right.
And you also are seeing something in Charlotte's character where she's breaking in with the whiny daughter complaining. And so, you know, Dr. Phil was touching on that. I thought when they announced Dr. Phil was coming into play, what the hell is this happening? But they did as best you could use a guy like that for a story.
Well, part two of this, too, is part of the deal was that his kid's band got to be on the show.
Yeah. Great.
So
that's what we're doing now, huh?
Well,
pulling some side deals.
Hey.
Nepotism.
True.
Definitely something that is there in professional wrestling.
Absolutely is. And then we did see Anderson and Gallows.
They showed up.
Jumped, and I think it's perfect how they did it. They came out of the crowd, dressed normal, and then maybe, I guess, the feud with the Usos, or maybe that was just a touching point. But you did see them do the gun thing. And
at the end, And also, right here, real quick, notice who they attacked. They attacked the Usos. And who is AJ going against? Their cousin. So, again, this ties into what Dixon said last week's show. Could you see AJ go heel? Yep. Or maybe they have him go face. We talked about it this week. Maybe AJ and those guys and the Bulletproof or whatever they're going to be called go face. And then that can kind of turn Roman and the Usos heel, which, Smooth, you've always wanted the Usos heel.
I mean, dude, they're better heels.
Look at
Umaga, great heel.
Yeah.
Right, you look at Yokozuna, great heel. You look at the family heritage there.
Umaga.
Umaga. I mean, all great heels. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And that's what the Roman would be. I mean, right now, I'm the guy. We all see it. Like, I don't know what. Just do it. You know what I mean?
It's Vince, and it's Vince wanting him to be the Samoan Superman.
Yeah, but
have you noticed that tag gets thrown around a lot? You know, you've got Cesaro's the Swiss Superman.
Yeah.
Reigns is the Samoan Superman. You've got Super Cena. Like, it's starting to get annoying.
Yeah.
Like, this larger-than-life thing that they're trying to push is great for the kids, but, mm-hmm. like, it blurs any semblance of realism you have, and in my opinion, will end up devaluing the title.
But how they won't do that is they keep the title on somebody for a long time, like they did with Punk. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think that when you go back to like the Hulk Hogan days where, I mean, what do you have like title for like 4 years? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Entire 80s. Like,
something of that nature.
Pretty much the whole 80s until Sergeant Slaughter came in.
if you don't count when he technically lost it to Andre the Giant and Andre sold it to DiBiase, I mean, it was a solid 4 years,
right.
And then he got it back and lost it again to the Warrior after two. So,
but I'm not saying you need to keep it on somebody for that long, but it makes it look like at least then you see that pyramid effect of the guys that are going after that title. You know what I mean? Which you kind of see now with AJ and the four way that they had the other day.
But the problem with that is you either have to have a heel on your roster that is a fantastic heel.
Oh yeah.
In order to stay on for that long, or people are just not going to care about it, or you have to put it on a face that you see as the next face of the company. And right now, what they're trying to force Roman down everybody's throat, people aren't feeling it. So they've got to do something. I agree with you. You got to keep the belt on one person for a long period of time.
But it should be.
But who is that person?
It's got to be on a heel
because there's no money in having heels chase a champion.
What I'm hoping they do is they put Roman heel, and they do. It's going to be a slow turn if they're going to do it. And then, I mean, Rollins is coming back soon. Mm-hmm. The rumor is he's going to come back before the summer. So if that's the case, he's got to come back face. He's going to get such a huge pop. People loved him beforehand.
The funny thing is, though, man, is he didn't get booed as much as I think they wanted him to.
Rollins?
Yeah, I mean, after a certain point.
Yeah.
You know, once they got Pat, once he.
He got booed talking, but when he wrestled, people loved him.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. So when he comes back, everybody's going to be, especially if Roman has the belt, he's going to be a face no matter what. So
think of how many times Triple H went out hurt, came back as a face, right? Came back to a ridiculous pop.
Oh, the training videos you see him when he blew out his quad and all that.
You know, I can see him doing the same kind of run with Rollins. You know what I mean?
Potentially, yeah. The issue is like, I don't know if Rollins has it in him to be able to be a face on the mic. Because even back in his Tyler Black days, he was always the bad guy. He was always sort of emulating Punk to a degree, even with the hairstyle. Mm-hmm. If you go back and look at like the Ring of Honor, CM Punk with the blonde streak. And you'll notice towards the end of Rollins' run, they were making him grow it out to get rid of that. So we'll see. Maybe he'll come back. Maybe he'll be a completely different Seth Rollins. Yeah. Or maybe he'll go back to being like that super Tyler Black version of Seth Rollins.
But he could be cocky. He could be arrogant. And people are going to still cheer for him if he's going up against a heel that they don't like. You know, I mean, I think right now, whether, you know, starting back from the Attitude Era, Stone Cold, I mean, you had these guys that weren't your typical faces like the Hogans of the 80s. Yep. I think Rollins could fit into that mold because his wrestling style fits more of a face than it does a heel.
Right.
But, again, who are you going to put him up against?
Yeah.
Everybody who's coming back from injury or has a chance to go after the belt right now is technically a face.
But remember, he's got a score to settle with Triple H.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Do you put Roman heel, have him,
maybe
you
don't bring him back till SmackDown, and that's your first feud off of SmackDown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would be the way to go. You want to get a huge pop, but maybe then you don't have him say anything on the mic. He just comes out the first time when Triple H is doing a promo, and he just comes out and lays waste to Triple H, and then for like a month, like a Sting angle, doesn't say anything. You know what I mean? For a month. And then maybe he has, you know, I don't know. I mean, he's not terrible on the microphone, but, you know, it just.
He's just never really been much of a face.
Right.
It's a question mark as to whether he could pull it off.
Or maybe he goes in as a face for that, and then he switches back to being a heel. I mean, that's always, he's done that a couple times.
It'll be interesting to see how they bring him back against Hunter, because the way it ended, it didn't end badly.
Right.
So, you know, it was just like, well, okay, he got injured.
You made me Russell Kane on a house, you know. Yep. Yeah. He could blame him for the whole thing.
Or he's or Triple H is teamed up with somebody else, and then Rollins comes back and feels like the stepchild, and so you have the animosity that way, and then you start the feud. So there's a bunch of different ways, but they got to bring him back face because he's going to get one of the biggest pops.
Now we'll see what happens there.
So.
Main event, some of the other things from Raw. I mean, the main event I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was the best open in a long time because you didn't get 20 minutes of blathering promo that led to a boring main event.
Right.
It hot-shotted right into Cesaro and Owens, which for me is one of the best matchups on the entire roster. Yeah. And that match really did deliver in every single way. Great falses. You really thought Owens was going to go over. Cesaro sold the shoulder better than I think anybody could have sold the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
It put Owens on a path to meet up with Zayn. It put Cesaro on an arc to go after The Miz. The Miz now has Maryse. I have a weird feeling based on what I read from the SmackDown spoilers that Baron Corbin is going to be the muscle that stands behind The Miz.
Nothing wrong with that, though. Makes sense. Together.
Yeah. Yeah,
it makes total sense. But you know what? The Miz has always been better when he's had somebody.
Oh, absolutely. You
know what I mean?
He's so, I mean, I know people hate him, and I'm not a big fan of him when he's got the belt, but he is so good on the mic.
Yeah.
He is such a good heel. And now this new little thing that he's dropping into his character where he does retakes like an actor does is freaking hilarious. And his wife brings, a new variable to the
table.
He's
come
that's
a long
nice.
Way in the ring, too. I got to give the dude credit. I mean, if you really think about it, he's been in the E for over a decade now.
Yeah. Yeah, he has.
You know, and his work rate isn't terrible. I hate his finisher. I hate the finisher. But overall, I mean, he's a good dude to go out there and occasionally have that secondary title and to make other guys look good. He sells better than just about anybody on the roster.
And he's willing to do all the TV and all the other stuff to, you know, he's that guy that let's be honest, when you talk about face of the company, I mean, he's one of those guys that's up there in the top five.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's to the point now where I think people have forgotten that he came from, like, Real World on MTV.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Nobody even remembers that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, that show doesn't even – I don't think it exists anymore anyway.
It's still on. My wife watches it.
Yeah. They got the Real World Road Rules.
The challenge is still
there, right? Yeah.
No, they actually have a Real World.
Yeah, they have
a Real
World. Do they really?
Yeah. God, it's like 30 seasons.
You know what it is? That's what happens when MTV gets moved to channel, like, 320, and you just stop paying attention because it's not
in
the main –
You don't click up that high?
It's not in the main run. Well, listen, I just got HBO again, okay?
There you go. Right,
so
well,
down.
Also MTV changed. It went like Teen Mom and
yeah
so like it's out of our demo and stuff like that. But all right, so if we're talking about Miz, then where the hell was Zack Ryder this week? I guess that storyline was like, hey, we're gonna give you a big WrestleMania moment and then peace out. You're going
No, they get back to him on SmackDown.
They do for the belt? Maybe. Or just in general?
No, there's an angle with him and Miz coming up on SmackDown.
All right, so where do you think they do with Cesaro for this then?
Well, Cesaro already won.
Does he win the belt, or do you think it's like one of those things that they chase for a couple?
Maybe what they do with, if they put Corbin with Miz, maybe they bring Raleigh up. Maybe, you know, maybe it turns into, hey, I need a little, sometimes you just got to turn to your friends. And he brings, because I'm pretty sure Raleigh, he's ready to come to the main roster, isn't he?
Mojo Raleigh, yeah.
You know, so maybe that's a way to get him to the main roster to,
get the Hype Brothers together.
To get the Hype Brothers together to do some stuff. That would be kind of cool, you know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
So I don't see Zack Ryder and Cesaro working well together.
No. But let's be honest, I mean, Ryder's always been a better tag guy. Than running by himself.
Yeah. No, it was just more of, I'm glad to hear that they do something with it on SmackDown because I was just like, okay, is this going to be another storyline that's dropped?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that he won at Mania, got the moment, and it
stupid.
Seemed like
it
was a segue just to give it to Miz.
It's like, keep the belt on the guy for a couple months at least.
It's a way to give a dude like Ryder, who doesn't really have the chops to play every week, his WrestleMania moment for sticking around, being a good dude, helping the younger guys, and not being a douchebag about constantly being back and forth between the main roster and NXT.
Right. Right.
And gave his dad some love. And then that set up the heel turn, the big, even the more larger heel turn for Miz and bringing his girl back in and for Cesaro.
So is she officially part of the roster again?
She's not going to wrestle, but
Yeah, she's going to be there.
I'll tell you right now. Give it time. Or maybe
she wasn't a bad worker.
No,
she wasn't.
Maybe we go back to the having a valet. You know what I mean? The Miss Elizabeth.
Well, she
style.
Was great in that spot when she don't drink that. That's domestic.
Yeah.
Nah, she's awesome. I mean, I think even on Raw this week, the segments in the back I thought were well produced and well done. But dude, the Owen
forwarded through them.
Did you? I was wondering. I was shocked that you watched it. So it makes sense. You got to just fast forward through the matches.
I just watched the good matches, and that's it.
Well, I agree with you, man. That Owens.
Owens
Cesaro
was fantastic. AJ
so awesome.
And Sami Zayn. Like,
yeah.
For me, like the whole reason I actually got like excited about this Raw was there were two or three matches on it that were good matches that were given time.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like 1996 again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
They set it up. Shane sets it up in the beginning. So when you sit there for that opening segment, it's not just all about the main event. He's right. Like, and tonight you're going to see this, this, and this.
And
so
that,
you're excited to tune in.
That's something I think we've missed, like the setup of the show. Then, I mean, you're kind of choosing like, oh, man, if Zayn against AJ, I got to stick around for that.
Well, it's like you and I being radio guys. Like
right.
We know that when we crack the mic for the first time, you got to let people know what's going on for that next 4 hours.
Whether they're staying or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right.
And with Raw being a 3-hour show, I think you've got to kind of let people know what's coming so that they can pick and choose, especially when Monday Night Football comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you have that. They pick and choose, and then you throw in the twist and the turns. You know, I mean, that's something. Maybe having Shane there will help that. You know, I mean, I'm sure he has his hand in the writing process.
I don't know that it's the writing process, but definitely the production and presentation.
Yeah. He's got to have his hand in a couple things.
Oh, absolutely. But you can definitely tell he was way more comfortable with his lines this week than he was last.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't fumble over anything. It seemed like it was coming a little bit
more
naturally.
Well, because I don't think he expected to be there last week. I think they didn't tell him until either that morning or the night after the match, or maybe, hey, Mania, tomorrow I'm going to need you, to be here, blah, blah, blah.
All right, so here's a question. If the Shane thing is that loosey-goosey, which it seems like everybody is saying it is, why do you think there's such a sudden change with the amount of call-ups, who they're pushing, who they're featuring? Do you think that it's H finally getting in Vince's ear? Do you think Vince is finally, because he was at the NXT TakeOver in Dallas, do you think that he's starting to see these people that they're bringing in? Okay, they're getting pops. I need to get them on the roster. How do you think this is all playing out? Because it's just all of a sudden almost a completely different product as far as how they're presenting it and who they're presenting.
The idea for me, I think, is that they bring in these new talents so that they're there when all the injured guys come back, and therefore that's when the brand split starts and you've got enough names to actually make two rosters.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now they're doing the smart thing and warming some guys up while there's some space on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like Apollo Crews that can look like $1 million, that can be maybe beyond where Neville is before he got hurt. You know, like Neville would have been a year day after WrestleMania. And what did he really accomplish?
Nothing.
Where like Apollo Crews, do you want to see that dude also follow that same career arc where it's win, 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 and then it's 50-50 the rest of the way?
Yeah.
And in being put into matchups that don't make sense against guys like Kane or, you know what I mean? Like, it was cool to see him against Adam Rose because, like, that's a dude that Apollo Crews isn't a huge guy. He looks massive.
No,
he's
only like 5'8", right? Yeah.
5'8", 5'9", the former Yuha Nation from the Indies. But for him they're doing smarter things. Like, they could have put him in there with Bo Dallas, but there's no way that Apollo could have gotten Bo's fat ass up over his head to deliver that finisher, where Adam Rose, being one of the leaner guys on the roster, now they're smart, they're thinking.
And they're also putting him against other NXT people that they have experience from.
Exactly.
So when you're going on Raw, there's familiarity.
This match is
going
to be good. These guys have worked together.
I want to
see
Apollo Crews and Neville as soon as they get back one-on-one. I feel like that could be one of the best matches.
Cruz Zayn would be awesome. I mean, there's so many different people you can –
because
they're athletes now.
Let's think about, too, is those guys are spending so much time together down at NXT, and as those older guys start to transfer out of the roster – and you get more of these guys coming through, the product only gets better at that point because you've already had these guys against each other.
Yeah.
Eventually, we're going to see Joe come up. I can't imagine they're going to keep him down. Rude's going to come, as soon as he gets ready to go. I mean, so you're going to see that whole swing. I'm telling you right now, you're going to see some guys disappear.
But you just hit a major point of why NXT doesn't travel. Because they stay in home base. They can practice through the days. They don't have the traveling schedule. They aren't in hotels. They aren't in cars driving from city to city.
That's true.
They can practice.
Right.
They have the training. They have all the coaches right there.
But do they need more? I mean, do they need a bigger push?
I don't think so. I think they're settled in and they've got their groove and it's what it needs to be. And there's actually, a lot of people don't know, a feeder system at NXT, which is going to be, I believe.
Which they just signed, 65 new people of that or something like that.
Well, there were 10 new official signings yesterday.
Right. That's 10, yeah, that's
and
right.
And then they've got Evolve, which is going to be the sort of the NXT's AA baseball sort of equivalent.
Who had a show in Mania weekend in Dallas as well. Yeah.
But makes total sense. Makes total sense to have that.
You have to. That's where most of the cruiserweight series matches.
Which I'm pretty sure that's at the Arnolds. I think we got the Evolve guys.
Yeah,
because it wasn't. I'm like, I don't know any of these people.
And Kurt Angle.
Yeah, but Kurt. Yeah, he's a douche.
Agreed.
He is a douche.
He might. I don't know him. Never met him, but I would want him to come back so bad.
He just carries himself in public like he's a dick.
Yeah, but I don't care how. I've never met him. I just want to. I think he would be awesome with the NXT. Tag team guys.
No.
Who are they?
American Alpha.
Dude, I think they would be awesome. They have the same history, same background.
Yeah,
one wrestled in the Olympics. The other one was a huge collegiate wrestler. I think they would be great together. And Angle doesn't have to wrestle all the time.
So you're rolling here with the B Show, my friends, Dixon, Veely, and, of course, me, Big Smoothie, in the main event for Monday Night Raw. You had we've seen it happen 1,000 times. You know what I mean? Where, hey, you don't like this guy? Well, guess what? You're going to tag with him with Roman and Bray against the League of Nations, which I'm still just not sold on the League of Nations at all.
Man, there's an opportunity to do it right, and they're just not doing it right.
No, it's almost like they're allowing the characters to have their own creative control, and it's just not a good idea.
Well, it's because now there's very obviously a gaping hole, which is nobody that can really talk. Because Sheamus can, but nobody cares. And Alberto can, but nobody cares.
Well, and then you got rid of the guy that could.
Yeah, and then Rusev, I feel like they're pushing off into this comedy territory.
Roman, you no good, Roman. I tell you right now, Roman, you no good. Yeah. I beat you. I'm the man. That was pretty funny. I ain't gonna lie.
It was. And then when he told him he was better looking.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He did. It was funny.
Anything with Rusev and a mic, I'm down for.
But by the same token, if you want to take the League of Nations seriously, they need a fourth person. And at this point, why not Kevin Owens?
Yeah. I mean, yes, but I would be afraid that Kevin Owens would be lumped with a group nobody cares about.
Why not a guy like Miz, though?
Because he's not foreign.
Not foreign. You got
to
pick
a foreign. So Cesaro. Why do you have to pick a foreign? League of Nations, you could have an American.
The beginning of it kind of came off as anti-America.
Yeah, that's true.
The problem is that there's no direction with this group. They don't stand for anything other than four guys or three guys now from different countries, and they teamed up.
They're not targeting a title. They're not targeting a guy.
They don't have a movement. Yeah. It's just like we're from different countries, so now we're going to team up.
It's not like you have Rusev and Alberto going after the tag titles, and then you have Sheamus either the IC title or the heavyweight title.
Or even pushing their country, you know what I mean? Like because it's separated for three different countries right now, you can't even go back with the old school style where it's all Iraq or it's all Mexico or it's all this.
Can we bring back what's his name? The Iraqi dude, the Italian dude that played the Iraqi dude.
Oh, Muhammad Hassan. Their old Mark Capone.
Mark Capone. Can we bring him back?
And you know what? The worst part about that was.
They're staying away from that right now. Yeah, they're staying away from that right now.
I agree.
That was one of the best angles to ever hit TV, and it sucks.
It was awesome.
It sucks they were forced to take it off.
It was so awesome. Yeah. And it was just like, because they just said, go out there and just be this biggest douche heel ever. And he pushed the line badly, but he did what he was supposed to.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
It was just unfortunate that some things in real life sort of happened around the same time as that angle. Because I think that dude would still be there.
Oh, yeah.
And I still think he'd be a top-level heel.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, yeah, I don't know who else you could put with them. I got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's somebody that they from NXT, I mean, you could always pull a Kofi and make him Jamaican. I mean, somebody like not him, but do something like that and
South American, bro.
South American.
All right, or no, what is it?
No, South African.
South African. They did reference that a couple weeks ago.
No, he was Jamaican. He was Jamaican.
But they referenced South.
They actually like announce him from Ghana now.
Yeah, so stupid. Before
he's just like whatever.
I mean, there's different ways to go about it. But again, until they have a clear message or there's a theme to their group, it's just three guys.
It's hard for me because I've become a Del Rio fan, not necessarily for any other reason than the fact that like he delivers in the ring. and he's been delivering in the ring since he's been back. He looks better than he ever has. And not to, again, go to the SmackDown spoilers, but he wrestles AJ on SmackDown, and I'm actually clamoring to see it.
Oh, that would be an awesome
did
match.
You catch the kick to Roman?
Oh yeah.
since you missed it, I don't know. How have you not watched it yet? Did you not tape it?
No, I taped it. I didn't watch the very end.
Oh, he definitely gave Roman a kick to the stomach, but he missed his pad and hit him clear in the rib. And it looked like it hurt because Roman was like, oh, and you could see
it on his face.
You could see I was like, you dirty bastard. Like, it was it was solid.
Did he sell it after?
Oh, he sold
it. For the rest of the match?
He didn't have a choice.
No, but yeah. I mean, for the rest of the match, did he sell it?
No.
Or did he Superman up?
He took another one. He took another shot.
See, that goes back to all these guys that are Superman, they never sell anything. I mean, Cesaro does, but he never gets the opportunity to.
Right.
But, you know, the Cenas and now Roman, that's the reason why the older audience can never connect him because they don't sell. So here's a guy who legitimately hurt, could use that to his advantage to maybe get some sympathy from the audience.
Yep.
And then he's just like, nope, power up.
Yeah. Now you see where he kicks him and then Alberto steps back a little bit like, oh shit. I definitely connected.
I got a receipt.
My bad.
Yeah. And then he went for another kick and he caught him a lot lighter. But it was. I was like, oh, that definitely missed the chest pad and hit him in the rib.
MMA stuff coming into play.
Exactly.
Yep.
And that's why, you know.
Well, he didn't hold back.
Do you think he could have a good match with Brock because of their background?
No. Brock's too big.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make any sense.
So who could against Brock, though, would make sense?
Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe.
That has got to be next year's Mania.
I'll be honest with you. Bubba Ray, if he was going singles.
Yeah,
when he was rolling singles in TNA, man, I mean, he had some really good matches.
When Harper comes back from his knee, I think Luke Harper, Brock Lesnar would make one hell of a match. You've got, the collegiate champion and MMA fighter versus a dude that's a legitimate Golden Gloves guy.
Bray?
Luke Harper.
No, I mean, Bray could have a solid match.
Bray, I think, could, but the issue there is I think Bray has been buried so far that
it's terrible.
It doesn't make sense for him to go after Lesnar, and I think that's why the program changed after Mania.
Yeah.
Is they've devalued the Wyatt family so much that now they have to start from scratch to build him back to something.
Yep.
Well, it's also, too, that they're making a face. I mean, it's interesting to see how he teams up with Roman.
Face. The crowd is making the face.
Well, exactly, and they had to change. They had to turn him because here was a heel staple that always lost, but always had the greatest crowd reaction to when they came to the ring, other than Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants to see Bray get pushed.
Yeah.
So when you have that, they can't be a heel. Not their gimmick.
Well, not
right now. It's yeah.
Not now
so
they can't be.
I like the way it ended with those two, with Roman
at the
and Bray.
The, yeah.
I did see that. I just didn't see any of the match because I was just like, oh, like
anybody else
whatever.
Notice that when they want Bray Wyatt to get cheered, they give him different pants?
Well, yeah, what the hell was he wearing? He was wearing, jeans type pants.
Yeah, he wears, these weird, dirty gray pants with his black T-shirt when they want him to be cheered.
Yeah.
And then when he's a bad guy, he comes out with
either the
plain white pants
the
white with the black birds or the red with the black birds.
Yeah, that butcher outfit is scary, man.
Wow.
White pants.
It's meant to
I don't
be.
Know. Yeah. No, I know. I'm saying it works. I don't want to, if you saw that dude coming to you on the street dressed like that.
No, we're going the other way, dog.
Yeah.
I'd hang out with him.
I'm going on.
That's because you're sketchy like he is.
Yeah.
I feel like we'd see each other and be like, yo.
You guys are in the same butcher shop.
What's up, dog? Yeah. What's up, dog? That's exactly how you would be. but it was a decent Raw.
Yeah, I for the first time in a long time, there were only a couple of things that were annoying to me.
We actually watched it, so I mean that sets volumes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the good most certainly outweighed the bad, even if we're only talking, you know, opening match, Cesaro Owens, closing match, and AJ Zane. And you got to throw the Apollo Crews match in there.
Well, and you got to throw in Charlotte and Natalya. They had a great match.
You can if you want to. I won't.
Dude, I will be the voice of the women on this podcast.
Oh,
women's
voice
wrestling,
woman, huh?
That is.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm marking out for
you're
women.
You're going to be a feminazi now?
No, I appreciate great wrestling. From beautiful women.
Well, then you're not getting it anywhere because it doesn't happen. But I will admit that.
Don't you love what's her face?
I love Natty.
Yeah,
I just
Natty.
Prefer
don't you think
when
she's super hot?
When she wears the black and pink and not the black and chainmail.
Yeah, I wasn't really into her outfit.
Yeah.
And the see through sides.
She's
that
me.
I liked.
Nah, well, it's
it's very subtly sexy.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I prefer the black and pink.
Yeah.
And I don't really watch Natalya for the wrestling.
I don't watch for their outfits. I watch for the pure wrestling. Because that's who
Stop
I am.
It.
Yeah, okay, Mark.
No, just being respectful. Want to talk about the Rock some more? Being respectful of
Tyson
Kidd.
Oh, you're
going to
be that guy? Oh, screw that.
Of Tyson Kidd? I don't care about that, dude. TJ Wilson, awesome dude. Hot wife. Going to stare at his wife. Sorry.
Bam, there you go.
Bam.
Don't put her in latex and on TV if you don't want me to look at her.
Well, then they started changing her when him and Cesaro were together.
Yeah. Then
they start changing her appearance. Because like,
they were kind of going.
They were going heel.
Heel.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, they did a couple things at a house show, and then it all changed. And then, bam, well, they've got a face. Now you got a face tag team.
Yeah. It was because everybody was cheering them because they were so freaking awesome.
Well, it was their, what the hell were they doing? What up? No, what the hell were they doing? Oh, man, I forget. They did it here. I forget what they were. Word. Or they were doing something where every time Tice would say something, Cesaro would say, like, word or I don't remember what the hell it was.
It was very short-lived, but it was funny.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, like, I like TJ Wilson, or what's he wrestle? Tyson Kidd.
Yeah.
but the fact of the matter is, like, if he didn't get hurt, then Cesaro wouldn't have gotten over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sorry, buddy. Like, the talent went over.
Do you like the Cesaro, the security gimmick he has going?
With the tear-off suit?
Well, did you notice the earpiece that he was
on? He's like a super CIA James Bond guy just ripping off the suit.
Yeah, I don't really care for it.
I think it's pretty good.
It's hilarious when he does it.
For me, I feel like he should only do it the way Finn Balor does the Demon for big, important matches. I don't think it needs to happen every time. Like, because I like him in the robe with the towel because it actually emulates that prize fighter that he actually can be that Owens claims he is.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, there's these weird dichotomies within it, but I thought it was cool the night after Raw because nobody expected him to be ready to wrestle, and I think it was a nice surprise.
Yeah.
I think doing it every time is just too much.
Yeah, I agree with that. But even his demeanor when he walks to the stage, like when he was slapping hands with the fans, he was like, "That's what's up. That's what's up." Like, he's bringing like a little hip hop to it. I'm like, "All right, I see what any way you can to connect."
I guess.
But I mean, you say that he gets a push, but are they going to give him the push, or is he going to lose?
I don't think he's ever going to win the world title, but I think he's always going to be.
You don't think he could ever be a Benoit?
Upper mid.
He's a B-plus guy.
Yeah.
You don't think he could ever be a Benoit?
No. No.
Why? Mike? Because Benoit wasn't great on
no
the mic.
Yeah, but Benoit didn't need to be, because he was always ended up with people that talked for him.
And Benoit had also been a horseman. He had 10 years between ECW and WCW to showcase. It was at the height of the Monday Night Wars. There were far more eyes on the product.
Bottom line is, he was a horseman dog.
Yeah. And that really does.
You didn't realize it. Like, you look at some of those guys that were, you know, the horsemen, especially.
The only
dude
that was a horseman that didn't deserve to be and has never been treated as such was Paul Roma.
Yeah. Don't even know who that is.
Mongo, too. McMichael. He should have never been a horseman.
85 Bears, baby.
True enough. But by the same token, that was a dude that had the football
background
to step in and be a top-level guy, even though he wasn't a top-level wrestler.
Right.
And he could talk for all those other guys that weren't really that great on the mic.
He actually was he was actually really decent on the mic.
Then he was the color guy.
He was the color guy.
Wasn't he the color guy before he became a horseman?
Well, he had that weird thing with Kevin Green, and then he was a commentator, and then he joined the Horsemen, and then he was a commentator, and then he was anti-horseman. It was a weird time in WCW.
like all the time in WCW was just weird. Especially the last, like, 3 years.
That was painful.
The Master P era. Remember that era?
Did you guys watch all the way to the very end?
Yeah.
All the way to the very end.
That was awful.
I stopped, like, around 2000, 2000.
No, I watched it till the end. It was actually kind of cool switching from USA to TNT, or to TBS. Was it TBS?
It was TBS,
When they had that final the final match that they aired on both. With Sting and Flair.
Sting and Flair.
Yeah. I watched the last one and then the takeover. But I just, those last couple of years.
Part of why I liked the last couple of years of WCW was because they were so talent poor that you were getting to see some guys that had been mired in, like, just nothing forever finally making their way to TV and doing stuff.
Well, the guys that were rolling with Conan. You saw that.
Yeah.
You saw all the Japanese or the Mexican guys.
Mexican guys came to fruition. You got to see a dude like Jimmy Yang actually have like a storyline along the way.
Dude, I loved Hoovy. I don't care what anybody says. Hooventude was great.
Minus those couple of years where he was all jacked up on drugs, I agree.
Yeah. No, I mean, They had, but they had a great cruiserweight. I mean, the cruiserweight division.
I mean,
there was
Psychosis,
insane.
You know, the Hector Garza Jr. And then you had the Vianos. You had Hoovy. You had Ray. Mm-hmm. You had Psychosis. You
that was
awesome. Even some of the like the. I'm trying to think of the other guys that would come in, like Ciclope,
yeah.
And all the dudes that were in AAA. That you know, if they were on the West Coast,
they'd bring
WCW
them in, yeah.
Just put them on TV.
Yeah. Just come in, we'll do it. Whatever.
Yeah.
That was great. I thought that was probably it, sadly. I mean, it killed it because they had nobody behind doing anything with it. You know
right.
what I mean? But that was actually some of the funnest times to watch. Minus the Master P shit, that was just awful.
Oh, the Master P versus Kurt Hennig and the Cowboys.
Oh, so bad.
I will admit that I had a glimmer of hope, and it was when it was after the initial Vince Russo takeover, and they made Russo and Bischoff work together,
mm-hmm.
and they started that New Blood versus the Millionaires Club. I actually,
yeah.
deep down inside, really wanted that to work because it was finally like, okay, cool, we're breaking through this, and you've got Hogan and the old guys
right.
on one side, and
yeah.
all these younger guys on the other, and that's what spawned like that Billy Kidman Hogan feud
yeah.
mm-hmm. and everything else. And I was excited because it was breaking into the realism of
right.
it, and then it just all dissolved and crumbled around.
Well, didn't Russo make it around? Like, wasn't he? Didn't he team up with Hogan in the end? And then he was part of the bad guys, and he was writing. So behind
yeah,
the scenes,
there was so much that would happen week to week.
There's like so much drama with it.
There
him.
Was no
yeah.
storylines.
Yeah.
They would just change from week to week. It was just so bad.
Yeah, it was blank
just...
on a pole match,
yeah.
and then we have like this
yeah.
weird battle royal.
Yeah.
And, you know, Vince Russo in the main event cage match against Booker T.
It was bad, and then the production value went to crap.
Wait, wasn't
too,
there a match too that Russo did where it was like Viagra on a ladder, like
Viagra on a pole?
Viagra on a pole match.
It
Who was that again?
Shane Douglas and.
I'm surprised Douglas did that too.
Yeah, that's why I didn't flip over.
He was making money at that
that's
point.
That's true.
He didn't care.
No, you're right.
Oh, Shane versus somebody.
I think it was Shane and Billy Kidman, and Tori
was
Wilson
Kidman?
Was the girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
yeah,
what it
right.
was.
You're
yeah,
right.
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
Craziness.
That's good stuff. So check it out, man. Next week, we'll do it again, my friends.
Wait, one more thing.
Oh, what are we going to do?
Taker. He's got pulled
oh.
off the European tour. We were talking about that. So what are you thinking? Do you think this is just him more time to think, or you think he's putting it down
There's
putting it
no
down for
way
good?
That dude goes out without fanfare. You know what I mean? From the WWE standpoint and from a dude who has been at the top of the industry forever, you don't just fade
nope.
off into the sunset.
Listen, or do they – hold on. Or does he retire? He won his last match, retire. Physically, he just – maybe he can't do it. And then when they open up the yeah. Hall of Fame down in Orlando where Mania is next year – he is the main attraction.
He's
the main guy.
Guy
he's the first guy in. He, you know,
he's
got to
do the loop one more time though. Like this is a dude that isn't gonna retire without hitting every city one more time and getting the motorcycle. You know,
you
in Chicago.
Think?
Oh,
I always
God,
thought
yeah.
he was
dude,
the
like,
type
like,
of guy that just
saw,
fades off into the background.
No,
he'll lose
no,
his last
not
match.
No,
because he's old school. You lose on your back. You end it on your back, and then. You go off into retirement.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to go to all these towns and wrestle, but I'm
yeah.
saying that they're going to do the gong and the entrance, and then somebody's going to come out
the
and
the Kobe
say,
Jeter farewell tour?
Yeah.
yeah.
Just,
yeah.
You know.
I'll tell you right now, to see him do the badass gimmick, I thought that was his best gimmick.
The motorcycle?
The motorcycle. Only because I like when he...
Man, if it wasn't the Kid Rock theme, I'd probably
right.
agree
yeah,
with
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Or
that,
Limp
that
Bizkit.
Limp
yeah.
Bizkit. The biggest issue is he's so good on the mic. And it's almost like they're not letting him do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, you just go out and say a couple words, and then you go back.
Well, they also didn't book him well for his last two angles. He was booked as the heel
yeah.
in both situations. And I you've got the retiring, the biggest name that's ever really been there, at least with longevity
mm-hmm.
and at the top of the card. I mean, you can point to Hogan and Savage and those guys, but if you really look at it, they were there for much shorter periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
Taker debuted 1990.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We're talking 26
years.
Consecutive
yeah.
years of service, minus a
I'll
couple
never
injuries
forget that.
Here and there.
Survivor right. Series, he was the mystery opponent, brought in. I was watching a VHS cassette of that.
Brother
yeah,
Love.
Awesome. Yep, Brother Love. That was awesome. I think he's been there that entire time.
Yeah.
Everybody's gone through. And he's a big, he is the man in the back. You know, he, you know.
Not anymore. He's not around enough.
No,
well,
I'm not
he
saying
was
now.
Definitely, he was definitely the judge at wrestling court for 26.
Yeah.
Well, no, he, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
right.
he,
that was
he
his
held
locker
down.
Room.
He,
right.
he would go up to tell guys, knock it off. I mean, Mark Henry would told a cool story about how he when he first came in
mm-hmm.
and how Undertaker had to put him to the side and smack him around and be like, listen, you can't act like that around here. So I hear what you're saying. I just don't know what they're going I'll be shocked if he leaves this way, but
no, he's going to go out fanfare. There's no doubt.
I think you have to, if you do, then you got to have one more match, maybe Survivor Series started there, it ends there, and then you announce him for.
See, that would make more sense.
And then
to me.
You yeah. announce it Hall of Fame going into right. next year.
Well, what if you brought back some of his guys?
Most
you
know, of them are dead.
Yeah, they're all gone. That's
true. Good point. Gangrel's still alive though.
Yeah, but have you seen him?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. He's wrestling in Knox, bro.
He's doing porn now too.
Is he really?
What? Are you serious?
Oh, that's great.
Gangrel.
Yeah, definitely.
Speaking of porn, yes. The one thing we've never really talked about that I'd like to put on blast is the one person in professional wrestling that I despise more than Chris Jericho is Tammy Sitch.
She's
the former Sonny who recently did a porn video for Vivid.
Thought you were going with
and
The
is
Rock.
Is now
there.
Going no. The Rock's third on the list. Yes. But now she's in rehab, and she's basically this broad that uses the 3 or 4 years that she had in the spotlight of WWE to perpetuate what I would consider a bottom feeder career. She started doing like back in the day, like when the internet first came to fruition. Mm-hmm. Her and Missy Hyatt were doing like these nude photos that you could order, which fine, whatever. You know what I mean? Like it is what it is. It's not everywhere.
Did you guys order any?
No. And then
smooth?
No.
You know, and then she had her comeback after that with LOD 2000. Always been mired in drugs. And then when she got released from the E, started trying to hit up the indies. No show in here. Take this money. Don't show up. And then she just lost her mind, breaking into like ex-boyfriend's houses, getting DUIs. And then
racist
all of a sudden,
rants
like
on Twitter.
And then the fact that she just created this hubbub around there being like this Hall of Fame ring that was for sale
on eBay.
On
just
eBay.
It
and it was an auction that was, she put like a $3 million reserve on it so that it would never sell, so that she could actually sort of go into business for herself with this ring. And, you know, oh, I got forced into doing the porn. Well, if you look close enough in screen caps of that video, she's wearing the goddamn ring. So she never gave the ring up.
Oh,
she never
funny.
Pawned the ring.
No,
this
no,
was
she,
all.
WWE told her to take it off. They came in, she had it up on eBay, and they said, no, you got to take it off or we're taking it back.
Yeah.
And so then she took it off because of that.
But, you know, and now because the porn didn't sell the way that she really thought it was going to, obviously there was a big push for it the day it came out. And then with the way porn is these days, it's going to end up on a tube site for free.
Yeah,
nobody's going to pay for it.
But I have seen a couple screenshots of that. Have you seen what she looks like in the porn? If she looked like anything what she did, even 70% of what she did back in the 90s, mm-hmm. I'm sure people would have watched it. It does not even look like the same woman.
No,
I
she's
mean,
haggard.
The weight gain, the years of abuse.
Well, she had the breast implants, then she had them out, and then she had them back in again, and then she had them out, and now they're back in again. And it's just, it's one of those things where she just needs to go away.
Yep.
So any of you out there that listen to this, that like book, whether it's shows or, you know, like the WrestleCons, whatever, please don't book this bitch, because honestly, she's probably not going to show up, and B, she's going to show up, she's going to get drunk, and she's going to be a problem.
And why do you say that? Because I don't think we've gone into
because
the full
a,
history
there's
of
stories of it online where she's burned people.
We don't need to know
people.
His history.
No, not your history, but who are, but what have you done? Because a lot of people don't know your background. You
my
have
background?
Yeah.
I was a head of security for 2CW, who happened to win, you know, best independent organization in the country 4 years running. You know, spent some time in the front office of that company as well. And truthfully, we had her through once. She was kind of a pain in the ass. She didn't really do anything to us, but I think she also knew that, you know, being at one of the bigger indies and us having the ties to the other organizations that we did, that she knew not to mess up here, because
right.
we saw what happened 8 years and one day ago when the Sandman fell asleep in our ring, and he didn't get booked on the East Coast very much after that.
That's one of the best stories.
Because
you got to tell
that
story.
Great, man.
Because
yeah.
we have,
that video's great.
We don't care.
We will tell that story and tell you where to see the video in the upcoming weeks.
Because if you're going to come in and you're going to, if you're going to want like full pay, like I expect you to do the full job.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when Sandman didn't, we put him on blast. And, you know, you mess with our business, we're going to mess with yours.
Mm-hmm.
Tammy, I think, saw that, knew, and acted completely appropriately.
Smart.
Granted, she did make us change what we brought her in for initially. But it is what it is. It was so long ago that I could barely remember the details of it. But I just hate the fact that she's still out there,
Is she still being booked? And
she's in rehab right now. But
even before
she makes sure to send out press releases to all the dirt sheets so that everybody writes about it, so they feel sorry for her.
Yeah, no, I saw that. Yeah.
And it's just like, go away. Like, the reason you're not getting any better is because you're not stepping away.
No. Well, that's the key. Go away and get better.
Yeah. And then come back.
Let's be honest, man. She likes the damn attention.
Well,
you look
at
all those girls from the 80s and the 90s, man. That's all they want is the damn attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, disease is a nasty
guys, too, for that matter, right?
Because it was a different time period.
Yep. Yeah.
Disease, man. It's an addiction. I mean, she's addicted, whether it's to fame or whether it's to other things. Drugs, alcohol. I mean, she's just got to get better.
Cocaine!
We wish you the best.
Yeah.
No more porn.
I love him. He's great, isn't he?
Good old L.A. Marca.
No, I agree with everything he said, but at the end of the day...
You're the straight down. Me and him are like, yeah, go F yourself. You're like,
nah, I want her to get better. I want,
we'll play her that Bleachers song, Sacco.
Yeah, there you go. All right, man, for the Beast Show Studios. Yes, what else do you have?
What's your... What's your Instagram?
I'm not doing it.
Blast your Instagram. You can follow me on Twitter.
Big Smoothie 95X.
Wait,
Instagram. Big Smoothie 95X.
Okay. Dix.
I hate DXN, all one word.
On Instagram... My Twitter handle is @vman12, VMAN12.
I got Twitter.
Hit me up.
Guys, on my Twitter.
Dude, that's where the wrestling community is at, is on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because nobody can come up with more than 140 characters.
Bingo.
Bam,
bingo. Bam.
And we're out.